Gunther was a German shepherd who inherited $400 million. Then Karl Lagerfeld's cat Choupette was left $1.5 million when he passed. These beloved pets made the headlines as people couldn't believe that such wealth would be bequeathed to a mere pet. But pets are becoming more than just a typical family pet who waits on you. Today, they're viewed as companions, part of the family, fur babies. I'm Christy, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be talking about the rise of fur babies and the pet industry boom worldwide. What caused this phenomenon? And is everybody on board with this trend? COVID-19 lockdowns forced many people to spend most of their time confined at home. And as a result, many people turned to pets for comfort. A recent survey revealed that since the beginning of the COVID-19 crisis, nearly 1 in 5 households acquired a cat or a dog. And this came as people started working from home, relocating to the suburbs with more space, and had more flexible working hours. The vast majority of these households still have that pet in their homes today, with only 10 to 13% being relinquished back to shelters and rescues. Now, pet ownership rose to an all-time high of 70% in 2020 as a result of the pandemic, with millennials comprising the largest segment of U.S. pet owners at 32%. The pet industry boomed with sales up 9.8%, faring better versus other consumer market segments. In a Packaged Facts survey, pet products and services are at the bottom of the list of household spending cutbacks, second only to medicine, which reflects the deep commitments people have to their fur babies. Now, in America, 69 million U.S. households have a pet dog, compared with the 45.3 million who have a cat. Americans spent $136.8 billion on their pets in 2022, which is up over 10% from 2021. And this includes $58 billion spent on pet food and treats, $31.5 billion on supplies and medications, $35.9 billion on vet care, and $11.4 billion on other services like boarding, grooming, and training. Spending on pet food increased with millennials leading the charge, preferring pet products that consider humanization, premiumization, and sustainability. 19% prefer non-GMO ingredients for their pets, and 13% preferred human-grade food. This is in contrast with Europeans, where only 38% of them, or 88 million households, have pets. Germany had the highest dog population in Europe, with more than 10 million dogs in 2021. Due to the growing pet population in Europe, the pet food trade flourished, more than tripling in the last decade from 480 million in 2011 to over $1.5 billion in 2020. Like Americans, Europeans spend a hefty amount on their beloved pets, with owners spending an average of 1,224 euros each year. Expenses on food make up the largest share of the budget, followed by hygiene and grooming. Rural pet owners and couples with no kids have reported spending more on pet food and pet supplies as well. So, is the world really going pet crazy? And what should we all think about this? Well, that's where we want to bring in our guest today. To explain more, we'll bring in Philip Cooper, an expert in the pet industry. Now, Philip, do you predict that this pet phenomenon will continue to grow, or do you think that we have topped out here in terms of the number of households who owns a pet?
Well, I'll tell you, I believe it'll continue to grow. Now that pets have been elevated to baby status, and the people have seen the benefit of what a pet brings. And I apologize for my dog barking in the background, but I, as a pet owner, have plenty of creatures around. So please bear with me a little bit if my dear pug chimes in. You know, they say pet owners look like their, or pets look like their owners. And my pug looks just like me. She's short, fat, and has a pushed-in face. So I believe that's really the way it is. But yeah, the pet ownership will continue to grow. The pet industry will continue to grow. as it always has. Even in the toughest times, we've seen 20% increases pretty regularly. And every segment is increasing. We do have our ups and downs based on segment, but overall, the industry continues to outperform during recessions and during tough times better than most industries do.
I guess people do turn to a pet when they're suffering hard times like recessions or lockdowns, so that makes perfect sense. But what country has the lowest number of pets, and why is that? What causes this different attitudes towards pets?
Well, you know, that I'm not quite prepared for. I don't know which country has the lowest pet ownership worldwide, because they've all been increasing. But one of the reasons people cut back or don't have pets is because of the costs of keeping a pet and the cost of maintaining a pet. You know, as the population grows older, myself, I'm a baby boomer, and, you know, spending has increased dramatically with the younger generations and decreased with the baby boomers. But the younger generations, the millennials, are spending more, and money is no object when it comes to spending on their pets to keep them healthy and happy for many years, and as many years as they hope they'll survive.
Absolutely. And is pet ownership now considered a luxury, or is it still about companionship and comfort?
Well, it's really about companionship and comfort, you know, and the best example I can give is, you know, 20 years ago, we used to sell a lot of dog houses, and dogs, many dogs, big dogs, were confined in the backyards or tied up on a chain and kept outdoors. Today, we sell very, very few dog houses, and most homes have the dogs inside. And they have multiple beds, one in the living room, one in the bedroom, one in the garage, one wherever they are with their animal. And the dogs are now sleeping with their owners. And so it's really become a companionship issue. And, you know, dogs are unconditional. No matter how you treat them, they'll all come back and forget whatever you've done. And they'll lick you and love you and give you all the love and support you could hope for. Cats, on the other hand, I always joke and say, cats don't have owners, they have a staff. And they kind of, you know, live in their own world, and we have to adapt.
Absolutely, and that's what we all want, unconditional love from a pet. And now, while pet ownership is a global phenomenon now, different regions all view and treat their pets differently. So how does dog and cat culture in the U.S. differ from Europeans when it comes to, like, even basic things like neutering or leashing, caging, as you mentioned, dog housing?
What's interesting to me is it doesn't really change much by country. The biggest difference is in the amount and population of people, as well as the population of animals. I mean, recently I was interviewed about pet ownership in Shanghai, China. And Shanghai, you know, having a pet is kind of a status symbol now. And people are spending large amounts of money in boarding and on fancy collars and on fancy clothing. And so, you know, pets fit a need almost for every category, whether you want a dog for hunting and for retrieving, and that's a larger dog, or whether you want a dog that'll cuddle with you while you're watching TV in your lap. And the same thing with cats. You get different personalities. You never know what you're going to get. Some are more affectionate than others. And people are finding animals that really wind up being very compatible to their own needs. And when they give attention, they get plenty of attention in return.
Absolutely. And as people move away from having children in the West, do you think that especially women put their maternal instincts into pets?
Almost certainly they do. And they want them pets to live long and prosper. And, you know, it used to be you could never take a dog into a store, whether it was a grocery store or a restaurant. And nowadays, with the way pets have been humanized, pets are pretty much accepted anywhere. I w was at a doctor's appointment yesterday, and a lady w brought her dog there. And while she was in a waiting room, dog was on her lap, and the dog was part of everything she does. And we find that now with pets at every stage in life. You take them in the car, you take them to the park, you take them when you visit. I mean, they're just joined at the hip with you, and they're part of everything that you do.
And now, is there a such thing as taking it too far when taking care of a pet? Like, is there too much codependency?
Well, in all honesty, I have to agree there is to some degree, but who am I to judge? It depends on the individual's needs, their own personal needs, and how they feel. I mean, I think sometimes the amount of money that people spend on pets, if they would spend a small amount of their money caring for other people as much as they care about their pets, the world would be a better place. However, sometimes you can spend money on other people and they don't appreciate it and they won't give you any kind of a thank you, but you can always get that from your pet.
And now, what are some of the more outrageous stories you've heard or seen in relation to people and the care of their pets?
Oh, I mean, I could go on. I could write a book literally. I've been in the pet industry for 55 years, and I've seen some really outlandish things. I happen to be involved with a company that manufactures do-it-yourself dog washers, and they're pretty expensive. They're like buying a car. They can cost as much as $27,000. And we've seen people buy these for their own personal use in their own homes. And then we've seen rooms being built on the homes for the dogs and special grooming areas and feeding areas. And today, the millennials, they're on their computer most of the time and they work all day and they come home late. So they stop and pick up something at the grocery store to eat. They stop and pick something for their dog to eat. You can now buy ready-to-make diets for your dog and you take them home, you put them both in a microwave and you can sit down and enjoy your meal with your pet. And I've seen people spend literally thousands of dollars in veterinarian bills to keep their pets alive. Just a little bit longer. And sometimes I understand that. I've done it myself, but I also believe that sometimes we have to be a little more realistic and think about the quality of life that we provide to our animals, and especially in the later stages of life, making sure that you don't go overboard. You always certainly want to do the best you can, but I see people literally spend $50,000 on cancer treatments for their dogs, and it keeps them alive for a year or two. And I'm glad they can afford to do that, and I'm grateful they'll do that for their pet. It shows them how much love they have. But when you see that, sometimes you got to think and think that maybe there's times where you go to your vet, and the vet tells you it's time to make a tough decision, and people just don't want to do it because they love their animals so much.
Absolutely, those are some really bougie pets. Well, thank you so much, Philip, but please stick around. Philip will be joining us right after the break. And when we come back, the pet culture has taken over in Asia, where luxury brand houses are now turning a profit with pet couture.
Much of the world calling for an end of hostilities in Ukraine, NATO appears to have other ideas. Is Ukraine turning into Washington's next forever war? It certainly appears so. And it has nothing to do with Ukraine. Defeating Russia is the goal.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously. Why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Pet culture in Japan is a new phenomenon that has been taking off over the last few decades. Pets have been increasing in numbers throughout Japan as it is a convenient way to provide companionship without the demands of a child. Young couples who do not have the required time or are ready to raise a baby, or elders who are lonely, have turned to raising pets for comfort. Currently, estimates place the number of pets above the number of children under the age of 15. There is 19.2 million pets in Japan, but only 17.9 million children due to the declining birth rate and aging population in Japan. And since these families have no children, the pets get all of the love and get pampered like actual children. Businesses in Japan like cat cafes, dog spas, and restaurants that allow pets to sit down at a table and eat with the rest of the family has been booming since 2004. Many pets in Japan even have their own pet closets filled with expensive couture clothing from Chanel, Gucci, and Louis Vuitton designed specifically for pets. There's also an uptick for exotic pets in Japan as well, where people are buying very expensive fish, rare reptiles, or birds. Animals like otters, bush babies, and galagos are also frequently depicted on social media, driving up the demand. South Koreans are also choosing to have fur babies over real ones as young couples are burdened by the inflated housing prices and notorious working hours. These pets are doted on like real babies, getting fancy pet foods, puppy photo shoots, pet strollers, and puppy slings. South Korea also has one of the lowest birth rates in the world, and while its economy is flatlining, its pet business is booming. The pet industry in South Korea is a $1.5 billion industry that is one of the fastest growing segments globally. This includes everything from premium grade pet foods with ginseng and hangbang ingredients, air purifiers for puppies, and even doggy funerals, which is becoming an increasingly popular service in the country. However, not everyone is on board with this fur baby trend. There is a growing segment who oppose this trend, calling it a replacement baby syndrome and unnatural, insisting that pets cannot replace children. Worldwide trends show that marriage and child rearing are decreasing in popularity, but the nurturing instinct in women has not died down. It has simply been redirected towards dogs. Psychologists say that dogs can indeed replace a child or even a sibling. Many single-child families bring in pets as substitutes for siblings to teach children compassion, responsibility, patience, and trust. Couples are citing freedom and tight finances as reasons for delaying having a child. In contrast, the average pet owner spends around $2,500 to $3,500 a year for a dog. And based on the average lifespan of 12 years, the lifetime cost of owning a dog is around $36,000. And now, while this sounds like a lot of money, the cost of raising a child in the U.S. is between $13,000 to $15,000 a year. And while the sustainability of the pet industry in the long run is unknown, new commerce ideas like doggy restaurants are now making a profit. For this and more, we bring in again Philip Cooper, an expert in the pet industry. So, Philip, Asians aren't the only people who love to dote on their dogs. Recently, a San Francisco restaurant, Dog, who serves a multiple-course Bon Appetit meal for $75 to puppies, has come under criticism over the price point for the pampered pets, pointing out income inequality and the homelessness in the city. So what do you make of this? Is this considered maybe excessive?
Well, to some it's excessive, and to me, I believe it's a little excessive. However, who am I to judge on what you do with your pet and how much money you choose to spend on your pet? I think people spend what they do on their pets because they get this immediate love back from that animal. As we described before, it's unconditional. And yeah, there are people that go to excess, but you know, the amount of love and support you get from all animals and what animals will teach you and taking care of them. And it's, you know, when you talk about dog and cat specifically, my granddaughter is a lover of animals, as you would expect. And she takes care of orphaned animals and finds them homes. And currently she's got 14 cats at her house, baby cats, that she's looking for homes for, but she feeds them and she loves them. And, you know, her children watch these little creatures grow and they see the needs that they have, not only for food, but for hygiene and other things. And, you know, being able to watch the birthing of an animal is an amazing process that if kids will see, and whether it's a dog or a cat, or as you can see, I have an aquarium behind me, keeping fish and watching fish grow and have babies and many things give you a great sense of gratitude and give your kids a great example of how life continues and what they can learn about taking care and how much responsibility it is, whether you have a fish or a bird or a cat or a dog or any kind of an animal. It requires a real effort. And it's a great training exercise and a great teaching method for adults to help their kids understand what's required in life.
Absolutely. And do you think it's concerning that pets are replacing children for some couples and in certain demographics? And what are the implications here?
Well, certainly it's concerning. I mean, we're the world as a whole is seeing some decline in baby growth, except in some countries. And a lot of it's a result of the cost. A lot of it is a result of the way society has developed and young people not marrying young like I did, because that's what we did when we were growing up. You were expected to get married and have a family, and you were expected to have more than one child, and you grew and you built and you build a life based on that. Nowadays, I find some young people a little more selfish, and I'm not being critical, it's just a reality. They're a little more selfish when it comes to what they spend their money on and whether or not they get along with their spouse or their relationships. And a lot of people blame it on video games and other things, computers, and how we've become so self-absorbed with iPhones. And there's some truth in that. But I think people eventually get it. And I think, as you mentioned, we have seen that impact on populations in a lot of different places. And when you talked about the cost of raising a child and the cost of raising a pet, the cost will certainly vary based on the size of the pet or how many you have. The average American household today has 2.5 dogs and as many cats. So it's more than just one dog per household anymore. And there is a genuine concern about expense and a genuine concern on whether, you know, people will continue to have babies and see population grow.
Absolutely. Now, where is pet ownership the lowest? Is it in more developing countries? And do you think if affluence plays a part in pet ownership here?
Yeah, it is in developing countries because of that extra cost. And we look at markets like South America, which is booming. They've been poor developing countries there for many years, and they just didn't have the extra income to be able to feed additional pets. They had to concentrate on their families. But as they continue to grow and income increases, they do turn to pets And even in the countries where there's feral pets, people still find a way to try to take care of them because they feel bad that they aren't being taken care of or don't have families to be with, but they certainly don't want to see them neglected as well. 30 years ago, I went to Mexico City, and I was surprised at people who would spend $100 for a bag of dog food. It was a premium dog food when back then the population, there was a lot of rich people, a lot of poor people, and not much in the middle. But that country has developed dramatically, and they're spending as much per pet today as we are in the U.S.
Well, thank you so much, Philip, for your time today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Hope you all have a great day, and go out there and enjoy the benefits of animal ownership, but be a responsible owner as well.
As outrageous and fanciful as it once sounded, the winners and losers of today's pet world can actually be described as the plot of the 2017 DreamWorks animation, The Boss Baby, where babies and puppies are in a war competing for adults' love. In many countries, millennials today are opting for pets over babies, citing tight finances, personal freedom, as well as women having children later in life. This is a striking global trend, as many prosperous countries have seen their birth rates fall, with the replacement rate barely above 2. Meanwhile, pet ownership is on the rise while family sizes decline. And while pets are expensive, they're not as expensive as babies, and couples are happy to spend on their pets, as there is no recession in pet spending, even as incomes suffered. Meanwhile, Pope Francis has even spoken up on the subject and even called out people who have pets instead of children as being selfish. So at this point in time, the puppies are clearly winning out over the babies. I'm Christy Yai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.